Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
For Thursday, May the 21st, 2020, this is your Cultaholic Wrestling News in a tragic update from Venice Beach. Yesterday, a body was discovered matching the description of former WWE superstar Shad Gaspard. Shad Gaspard's passing comes after he went missing on Sunday. Gaspard and his 10-year-old son were swimming in the ocean when they got caught in a strong rip current. Gaspard directed rescuers to help his son first, and before lifeguards could help Shad, he was hit by another wave and he was not seen again.
What's really hood? Yo, allow me to introduce ourselves. It's your boys, Shad Gaspard, JTG, crime time, baby.
Shad Gaspard was born in Brooklyn on January the 13th, 1981. At the age of five, Shad was trained to box by his father and had began training in multiple martial arts by the time he was just eight. At the age of 16, Gaspard was a prize fighter promoted by former WCW star Hardbody Harrison. When he left college, he worked as a bodyguard for the likes of Mike Tyson, Britney Spears, and P. Diddy. Shad Gaspard's first taste of pro wrestling came after qualifying for Tough Enough in 2002. However, he failed the medical exam and was disqualified. People still saw potential in Gaspard, and this resulted in 6 months of wrestling training under former WCW Power Plant coach Dwayne Bruce, and it led to Tom Pritchard plucking Shad Gaspard to work for Ohio Valley Wrestling.
What a double clothesline from the Beast.
I tell you, the smart money is on the Beast. He's 6'7". He's 290 pounds, for God's sakes. What are you going to do with the guy outside?
Gaspard, now known as the Beast in OVW, signed a developmental contract for the WWE in 2005. Less than a year later, he would meet the Neighborhoodie in OVW. They would form a tag team called the Gangstars and start turning heads at WWE head office. In the summer of 2006, the Beast would revert to Shad Gaspard, the Neighborhoodie would become JTG, and the Gangstars would become Crime Time.
Yo, 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 pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's Crime Time. Outside of a local smoothie shop, Shad Gaspard and JTG, also known as Crime Time, stop by as they're in training for their debut on Raw. Today, Crime Time plans to work on their speed. But Crime Time isn't about running sprints. You must be straight tripping. This is how we do. Homeboy thought he was going to sell a smoothie. The only thing smooth here is how Crime Time removes the money. And you know it's straight cash, players. Shad also removes the clerk's head from his shoulders. Crime Time's game is so tight that JTG stops to give a shout out to his boy Dirty.
Shout out to my boy Dirty. Big up to Parkside and Flatbush. Yeah, we get it popping. Shout out to my boy Ace.
Shad reminds JTG that this is about speed and they need to bounce, but not before making sure nothing can be used against them in a court of law.
Over, man. 3 seconds over.
Come on, man. I give a shout out to my boys, man.
Look at shout out to your boys. Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
Yo, we got to get on time, man. We got to get on time.
With the exception of a six-month period out of contract, Crime Time would be a recurring part of WWE programming for 4 years before the team was split in April of 2010.
This ain't no Crime Time. Matter of fact, this ain't even y'all time. This is my time. This is Shad Gaspard's time.
It seemed like WWE would be building Shad Gaspard as a solo act. However, Shad was let go from the company later that same year. JTG would be let go a short while later, and Crime Time would reunite doing sporadic dates on the independent circuit.
We're working for the Crime
away from wrestling, Gaspard kept himself busy on motion capture work and as a stuntman in Hollywood. He also produced a script for a professional wrestling TV show called Pinfall, which would follow an ailing wrestling company trying to recover after the death of its owner. His wife, Ciliana Gaspard, has said that she has every intention of getting this show made, making her late husband's dream a reality. One of the more incredible stories about Shad Gaspard is from outside of the ring. On December the 11th, 2016, Gaspard prevented the armed robbery of a gas station in Coral Springs, Florida. Shad spoke to TMZ Sports about what happened.
So me and my tag partner Jay, we left the wrestling show with another wrestler, and we're looking for a gas station to get something to drink, like some iced tea. And so when we get to the gas station, I walk in and there's a convenient clerk and there's another girl. So I'm by the coolers looking at the drinks, and a guy comes from the back and he goes, "Yo, buy me a beer." I go, "My man, that's kind of disrespectful. There's a better way to come at it. You come at me correct, I'll get you something to drink. I got no problems with you, man." He goes, "What the f*** say to me, huh?" And I go, "Who?" I said, "You come at me correct." He goes, "Yo, man." He goes up, he lifts his shirt up, and he grabs a gun. And so he pulls the gun out, and he's like, "What you want to do, man?" And my instinct is, you know, if I see danger, I don't try to go away. I didn't want to get shot in the back, so I went towards him, and I was like, "What the f***?" Honestly, the first thing I thought was, I don't want him to hurt anybody else.
Wow.
Like, my thought process wasn't of me being safe. My thought process was, he has a gun and there's other people, and I don't want to hurt anybody else. And I'd rather try to stop somebody and other people get away than get shot in the back for running like a coward. And he goes, "You need to get out of here, man. I'm about to rob this place." And I go, "What the f*** to me?" I was like, "Nah, f*** that." He put the gun back in his waistband, and when he did, I started approaching him. I rushed him. I just grabbed the gun and I pulled it out. And when I pulled it out, I turned my back and I'm cocking the gun, but a bullet's not flying out because there's no bullet and there's no clip. It's harmless.
Wow.
So I take the gun to the register and I try to give it to the clerk. He puts his hands up. He doesn't want it. You know, the girl, she's panicking. He's coming behind me yelling and screaming. So I turn to him and I'm like, "Yo," I'm like yelling at him. He's not listening. So then I grab him by the back of the neck and I run his head into the store door.
Wow.
And then I run him outside and I put him in a rear choke and I throw him up in the air and I get him down on the ground and I get his hands behind his back. And like, I start searching him, see if he has any more weapons. And I'm on top and I got my knee in his back. And that's when I looked over at the gun and I was squeezing it so tight because I didn't want to let go of it, right, that I realized I broke the handle of the gun. And so when I looked at it, I saw a silver case in it, and I was like, "Oh, it's an airsoft gun."
Wow.
Yeah, so I didn't realize until that moment.
It was reported on Sunday that Shad Gaspard had gone missing at Venice Beach. Shortly after this, JTG shared one of the final messages he had from Shad that said, "If I ever die tomorrow, just know I love you as a brother and friend forever, even past this life." Since the announcement of the passing of Shad Gaspard, many in the industry have been sharing condolences. Sami Zayn tweeting out, "It's been a heavy morning with news of the untimely passing of Shad Gaspard, a heartbreaking reminder that tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. Love to all here and now." Cody Rhodes said, "Never had the pleasure to know Shad too well personally, but I did have the opportunity to work with him countless times. He was beyond motivated and as a giant took precautions to protect folks in the ring. I'm saddened by his passing as his last moments were as an undeniable hero." Brock posted on Instagram, "This one hurts. Great guy. My deepest condolences and love to Shad Gaspard's wife, son, and family. Shad drowned in the ocean, but not before instructing lifeguards to save his 10-year-old son first. That's the love of a father. This is a tough one to process. Love and light to Shad's family, and your warrior spirit lives on through your son." Collar and Elbow have launched a t-shirt with all the proceeds going to the family of Shad Gaspard. You can check out the t-shirt at CollarXElbow on Twitter right now. And we here at Cultaholic send nothing but love to the friends and family of the late Shad Gaspard. Other news in the wrestling world today. On last night's episode of AEW Dynamite, we could have possibly seen two AEW stars injured. The women's champion Nyla Rose and Britt Baker faced Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander in tag team action. During the match, Statlander and Shida picked Rose up and threw her onto Britt Baker, who was sitting in the corner. Rose landed quite badly on Baker's knee, and Baker looked to be in a lot of pain immediately after taking the move. She seemed to struggle to put weight on the knee afterwards, and she tagged out to Rose eventually and wouldn't get back into the match. We could see her actually being checked on by physicians and being helped to the back once the match concluded. This Saturday's Double or Nothing pay-per-view, Britt Baker is set to face Chris Statlander, but if this injury is anything serious, that obviously could change. The other concern is for Phoenix this morning. During his match with Orange Cassidy, Phoenix undershot a springboard senton and essentially took a bump on the hard floor directly on his tailbone. No update as of yet from Phoenix or AEW regarding his well-being on that. He is set to compete in the casino ladder match this Saturday. Hopefully he's going to be in good shape to do so. It was announced by Stardom yesterday that the reigning Wonder of Stardom champion, Arisa Hoshiki, was retiring due to head and neck injuries. Aged just 24 years old, Hoshiki has now returned the Wonder of Stardom championship to the company and will not be wrestling when Stardom resumes wrestling shows. She started with Stardom back in 2011, a real young prodigy of wrestling, somebody who just immediately clicked and got it. She left a year later, though, to pursue a career in music and in boxing. She came back in 2018, won the Cinderella tournament, and has had a really strong run as the Wonder of Stardom champion, but her health has been a concern. On Stardom's English Twitter, they shared a message from Hoshiki, which explains why she chose to retire. She says, "I was absent from the Corican Hall show on March the 8th due to head and neck issues. After discussions with doctors, the president of Bushiroad Fight, and the Stardom executive producer, Mr. Ogawa, I have decided that I will retire. I have not been well for about a year, but I was able to continue because I enjoyed doing professional wrestling and my feelings helped keep me going. However, since my physical condition has deteriorated this year and I've accumulated various injuries, I'm out of balance mentally and physically, so I cannot continue. In the end, I wanted to tell the fans in the ring, but we have this current world situation. I'm really sorry that the announcement was made while the Stardom shows aren't happening. In the future, I will continue to work that I... In the future, I will continue to do work that I love while watching my physical and mental conditions. It was a short time that I came back to wrestling, but I would like to thank you for all your support." The first match has been announced for NXT TakeOver In Your House. It was confirmed on NXT last night. It'll be Tommaso Ciampa versus Karrion Kross. Kross and Scarlett have really made an impact in the short time they've been part of NXT. It was Ciampa's first time back on NXT since April the 15th. And there is a hell of a match set between these guys for NXT TakeOver on June the 7th. We also had a match added to Double or Nothing, which is this Saturday, presented by All Elite Wrestling. Shawn Spears is going to be taking on Dustin Rhodes. It was made during the new Shawn Spears news segment. And Shawn Spears being angry that he wasn't booked for Saturday threw out the challenge to Dustin, and the match was quickly made official. The latest from AEW and NXT from the Wednesday Night Wars later today on the Cultaholic YouTube channel, as Jack will present AEW Dynamite Graded. I'll be along later with NXT Graded, and Ross will be here as well with your AEW TF moments. Last month, Vince McMahon decided to fold his second attempt at the XFL, but the story may not be over. Daniel Kaplan of The Athletic has written an incredible report which suggests that the XFL creditors seem to believe that McMahon is looking to buy the Wrestling League back. It was reported that XFL president Jeffrey Pollock has also contacted stadiums in Seattle and St. Louis about reinstating the league's lease agreements. Now, if this is agreed upon, it would allow McMahon to escape debt that the league accumulated following that first season it started up. It also is a way of keeping good faith with season ticket holders. So it was noted that the reason for the belief by the creditors is due to the proposal in bankruptcy filings to pay $3.5 million to season ticket refunds. So if this is done, it would help to improve relations with customers ahead of a future arrangement of games. So it's basically everybody saying, we got our money back for season tickets, so we can't complain. Also, the XFL owes $14 million to 25 unsecured creditors. Nothing is confirmed, of course, regarding whether McMahon plans to bring the league back. If he does, he has a mammoth task on his hand because he has to rebuild everything from the very ground up. Whether that happens or not, we will see. This also comes in the shadow of an ongoing lawsuit from former XFL commissioner Oliver Luck for wrongful termination. We will keep you up to speed on everything happening with the XFL. Whilst WWE Raw struggles to get fans to tune in, Wednesday's Dark Side of the Ring documentary on the final days of Owen Hart was the highest rated show in Vice history. The show averaged 394,000 viewers on Vice. In the 18 to 49 demo, it was a 0.18, placing it 31st overall for the night in the cable TV rankings. The viewership tops the debut episode featuring Chris Benoit, which was in fact the highest rated show in Vice TV history until this one. This almost guarantees a third season of Dark Side of the Ring. We've made a few suggestions on what we'd like to see in season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring, and you can check them out at cultaholic.com. Impact Wrestling and Axis TV have announced plans to further their relationship with a 3-hour block of wrestling on Tuesday nights. The companies announced a new series called Impact in 60 is going to premiere next month, which is going to chronicle the 18-year history of Impact and TNA, featuring some rather unique collections of matches, some best-ofs of wrestlers, stories behind championships and factions. The first episode is called Best of the Asylum Years, and we're going to look at the first few years of NWA TNA. There'll be matches with AJ Styles in there, Raven, a lot of stuff with Jeff Jarrett, obviously. Future episodes are going to focus on the X Division, some of the greatest Impact World Heavyweight title matches, the Aces and Eights stable, and the best moments of Mick Foley. The show premieres on June the 2nd at 10 p.m. following Impact on Axis TV. Titus O'Neil has been named a finalist for the Muhammad Ali Sports Humanitarian Award as part of ESPN's annual Sports Humanitarian Awards ceremony. O'Neil is seen as a community relations ambassador for WWE. He's helped thousands of individuals through non-profit organizations and WWE partners such as Susan G. Komen, Special Olympics, the Boys and Girls Club of America, many more other than that. He's also known for building in his local community. He's part of the Bullard Family Foundation. They're currently turning the Sly Middle Magnet School and the area around it into an education and community hub. WWE was honored by the Humanitarian Awards in 2018. John Cena named a finalist in this same category. We'll find out this year whether Titus O'Neil can get one over John on June the 21st on ESPN. And finally, The Undertaker doing the interview circuit at the moment. It's very weird seeing The Undertaker just kicking back and talking like a normal person. He was a guest on Pardon My Take, promoting The Last Ride, a docuseries on the WWE Network, and he was talking about his entrance. Turns out that if you think sometimes his entrance is a little bit longer than normal, there's a reason behind it. Undertaker said, "A lot of times, that would depend on my opponent. If I was working with somebody that was pretty limited, or I thought we were just going to have a real shitty match, I was like, man, I'm going to get my money's worth out of this entrance." There were times where it would take a little bit extra time because I knew the match is going to be horrible. I figured I might as well give it to them on the entrance because they're going to be very disappointed once the bell rings. I'm now going to go back and watch some Undertaker matches and time the entrance to see who he likes and doesn't like. That's how I'm going to spend my Thursday. That'll do it for your Cultaholic Wrestling News for Thursday on the podcast feed right now. If you haven't heard it yet, I was very honored to have Mike Parro on Desert Island Graps. He talks about coming out during his time as a wrestler and some of the amazing things he's learned about himself over the last couple of years as a result of it. Also on the Cultaholic YouTube channel today, as it is a Thursday, expect AEW graded, NXT graded, and your AEWTF moments all at youtube.com/cultaholic. I will speak to you tomorrow. Don't forget to join us. Love you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.